Today I'm back with part two of healing God wants to heal you. So I want to talk about why God doesn't heal certain people, or why they keep praying but nothing changes. And I'm going to give you just the reason why. The main reason why is that God, if he can use your infirmity, if your infirmity keeps you humble and preserves you to the end, then God may allow you to have an infirmity. You have to understand that as a child of God, if you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, God is trying to preserve you to the end. He wants to save your soul. And so if a particular illness or disease preserves your soul, keeps you humble, prevents you from going into a place where you could potentially lose God, he will allow that to stay on you. He will allow that particular sickness to be on you. It doesn't mean that you can't have a happy life with that, but it will be with you. We'll talk about Paul. We're going to bring up Timothy and a few other things. But that's the gist of it. And we'll discuss that. But what I want to do first is talk a little bit about what I talked about last time, which is, you know, eating right in order to receive the healing of God. Some people say this, you know, well, you mentioned all those foods we can't eat, lobster, pig, and shrimp, because God said you can't eat them in the Old Testament. Well, the New Testament says we can eat anything, where it talks about Peter getting this vision of a bunch of unclean animals and God telling him to eat the unclean animals. And he's saying, no, God, I've never eaten anything impure in my life. And so a lot of people will say, see, that there it is, God showing them that now that we're in the New Testament, we're in a new covenant, we can eat whatever you want. Those old laws regarding food are done away with. You can eat whatever you want. So you can eat pig, you can eat shrimp, you can eat, you know, lobster, and all these bottom feeder toxic animals that God said you couldn't eat. So they use that scripture to support that. Now, the problem with that is that they haven't read that scripture in context. If you continue reading that scripture, you'll see that it's mentioning something else. And I want to just go there and show you what God was really trying to say to Peter. And I'll just read Acts chapter 10, verses 28. And it says, Peter told them, you know, it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So when God was giving him this vision of impure animals, and telling them to eat, he was relaying that to Peter's view and most of Israelites' view of that they were unclean. And he's saying, you can't look at them as impure and unclean anymore. They should now be people that you view with respect, and your brother, if they are born again and they've accepted the gospel, and that they're open to hear the gospel. You know, at some point, because Israel rejected the gospel was given out to the Gentiles. And so we don't look at Gentiles. Me being a Hebrew man do not look at Gentiles in a disrespectful way or look at them as impure or unclean. And that's how Israelites used to look at non-Israelites. They're impure, they're unclean. So this has nothing to do with God saying, you can start eating all the crap I told you not to eat. All of those animals are scientifically proven to have diseases connected to them. That's why God told us not to eat them. So for him to just somehow say it's okay now, no. And then I hear other people say, well, if you pray over it, you're praying away the diseases and anything that will cause sickness in your body. That's not what the Bible teaches. So don't listen to that. God is still about your health, and he gave those rules for a reason. And that reason was those animals are toxic. They're going to pollute your body, and you won't be able to glorify me because you'll be sick and busted and broken. And that's not what I want for you. That's not my will for my people. And so we ought to obey those dietary laws. Now, I also want to be clear that I don't want to be legalistic when it comes to this. Because like I said before, there's pork in, you may buy a product and it says pork in the ingredients, and it's like it's not even meat and they got pork in there somehow. How did that get in there? Well, you can't eat that product because pork is in it. No, the point of what God is saying is don't make pork your diet. Okay, sometimes I eat pizza. Inside the pepperoni there's different kinds of meats. There may be chicken mixed in there, turkey, and then there might be some pork mixed in. I think pepperoni is mixed with some level of pork. Now I can either opt for turkey pepperoni, which I often do when I make my pizzas, or I can, you know, just deal with what came on the pizza. And most pizzas, you can't say, I want turkey pepperoni. There's ham mixed in there with that. The point is, don't make ham your diet. Don't make lobster your diet. Don't make shrimp your diet. Okay? Now, the second thing that a commenter had, and this is perfectly okay. Some people, when they hear that, they're upset because I love ham. I love lobster and shrimp. These are my favorite foods. I'm going to say to you that you're ignorant. You grew up under something. This is all you was fed. That's what you like. And that's all right. But the bottom line is, now that we've come into an understanding that these foods are not good for us, we have to say to ourselves, will we please God? Do we want to glorify God in our bodies? Do we want to be healthy? Do we want to be free from suffering from food-related issues? If so, we got to cut off these foods. And that's our decision. We have to make that decision. Now, what I want to be very clear about, God does not expect you to overcome your food issue. If you love ham, he don't expect you to just drop that tomorrow. He does expect you to agree with him that that's toxic and that you don't want to eat that anymore. You don't want to make that your diet anymore. Okay. With that said, your prayers to God, he will give you the power to overcome that particular food that you love so much that's toxic to you. The reason why you love it so much, especially when I get these reactions from people, because I've heard this from other people online. How dare you talk about my pork? I love it. I'm about to have some. This Easter. I love it. How dare you talk about that? You know, and they get really angry about it. When people get angry about it, about a specific food that God said don't eat, and they love it, and they say they don't want to part with it, that's because they have an emotional connection to it. Like I said, that's all they had growing up. That's why they were fed. They love it. It's part of their soul now. They love it. It's just like a drug. It's a food addiction. It's a stronghold spiritually where they love this particular food that's killing them. Sugar is the same thing. It's all connected to the mind, and now you become addicted to it. So pig can do the same thing. Anything you're eating too much of that you love and now it's become a stronghold is now affecting your brain to where you love it. You can't let it go. It's like it's a drug for you. God understands that. We've fallen into all kind of different things. So all you got to do is say, God, I want to please you. I want to glorify you in my body. This is your body, Lord. I'm just renting it. You've assigned it to me. I want to keep it up and make it the healthiest thing possible. I can't overcome this thing, God. I love pig too much. I love lobster. I love sugar too much. This is difficult for me, but I want to please you. All you got to do is agree with God. And he'll take it from there. He will break the yoke of bondage to sugar, ham, shrimp, and lobster, and all these things that are detrimental to your health. He will break that. Just like I've heard testimonies that people had, they was on drugs, and God broke that drug addiction just like that. He will do it for you. It may be gradual, it may be instant. But if you agree with God that you want to eat right, and you put forth the effort and say, I want to eat right. I want to do right by God. He will take on the rest. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Christ is strengthening you. He is not putting this burden on you to change your diet. He will change your diet. You just need to agree with him. This is not something that you got to fight alone. You know, and that's what's happening with some of you. When you hear the message that, oh, you can't eat this food. You should not eat this food. You immediately say, that's going to be super hard for me. I can't do that. And the devil speaks to you saying, you can't do that. You might as well just keep doing what you're doing. No, of course you can't do it. God is calling you to holiness and righteousness. He's saying, don't lie. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't be manipulative. Don't be arrogant. Be humble. These are things most of us cannot do in our own power. But he's given the Spirit of God to empower us to overcome those things. In other words, he working in us. You don't have to bear the burden of trying to change yourself. You can't change yourself. All you can do is agree with God and he gives you the power to change. And you'll see the change. All you got to do is agree with God first and make the effort and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Then his power comes in. I've been telling people this. You can overcome any sin with the power of God. Don't talk about, well, this is just too embedded in me. Of course, it's too embedded in you. You were born into sin. But he's giving you the power to overcome sin. So there's no excuse. I don't want to hear nothing about nobody talking about, well, I can't overcome eating. I love ham and I ain't letting it go. If you saying that, you're saying I don't respect God and his commandment. For that point, you're not going to make it in because you don't fear God. Every commandment in this book, he has given us the power to do in his spirit. It's his spirit that's working, not you. But you just got to agree with God. I hope that makes sense to a lot of people. So just keep that in mind. Do you want to respect God? Do you want to honor God in your body? Do you want to live longer? Do you want to have more energy? Do you want to have less food-related suffering? If so, these are the reasons why you should change your diet. These are the reasons why you should tell your family members, hey, we're going to switch our diet up because we want to please God. God knows diet is a stronghold for a lot of people, but he can save you from that bondage. Just like any other sin, you a crackhead, drug dealer, you addicted to pornography, you're arrogant, you manipulate people, you're proud, you're self-centered. It don't matter. He will work in your soul and change that stuff. All you have to do is agree with him that it's wrong and that you want to change and be like him. That's it. That's how I got the way I got. I'm mature in Christ and growing in maturity day by day because I agree with God that his ways are right and my ways are wrong. And because of that, his power works in me and transforms me. He does it in my wife's life. He does it in the rest of the saints that you see. He's like, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they're very mature. That's because they're letting God work in their life. They're not going around saying, I can't do this and I can't do that, so I'm going to just settle for sin. No, we don't settle for sin. We say, God, I can't do it, but you can. We look at the law that God has given us, the perfect law, and we say, you know what? I agree with that law, God. I want to do that law. I need your power to do it. And once you accept that you're weak and can't do it and allow his power to work in you, you'll see a transformation in your life. You'll see yourself obeying that law. You will see yourself overcoming those dietary nasty habits. So I just want to say that first before we go into why people can, you know, may pray to God for healing and don't get it. And so I hope that helps somebody. So let's continue on. Let's talk about the seven reasons why people are sick and diseased in the first place. And then we can understand why God allows some of them to remain that way. So the first one is sin, okay? And sin brings about abnormality. So when you see some kids, they grow up, they come out the womb, they got one arm or something like that, or something is not working right in their brains, and any kind of abnormality is because of sin. Because the world has been built, has been infiltrated by sin, it's affected nature. And nature sometimes comes up crooked. Every now and then you may see a white tiger or something. God didn't make that. That's an abnormality in that animal, okay? Albinism is an abnormality. It's something that just in nature just it broke. Okay, and then that's what we got as a result of it. Another thing, number two, the reason for sickness and disease is because Satan reigns and rules on this earth. So he purposely pollutes the environment. You see these big companies, these big organizations, these big corporations who don't care about the world, and they'll spill a bunch of stuff in the water. They'll contaminate the air. They will process food and sell it to the masses and tell them that you should be eating that versus something that you should grow in your own backyard. That's Satan hating the people that God created and polluting them. He's doing it on purpose because he hates you. So in some of the most developed countries like America, we got some of the sickest people. And then you go to some of the poorest countries, they're not this sick because they're eating off the land, they're growing their own food, and they may not have a lot of it, but at least they're healthy on some level. Another thing, like I said, because Satan is running the world, men who are ran by Satan, they purposely create diseases to put on people so that they get sick and they need to go to those men to get relief. So, like I said, do your research. The more you learn about health, the more you'll find that a lot of the issues that we have in this country, health issues, are related to food that men created to purposely create sickness so that men and women can get sick and go to the doctor and spend money on health care and all that kind of stuff. It's a billion-dollar industry. We want people to be sick so that we can make money off of them. We don't want a bunch of healthy people. And the food industry is in bed with the pharmaceutical industry and the you know, the hospitals and everybody's connected because we need to keep people sick. And it's all because Satan hates humanity. And so that's why people are sick. So number three is you're ignorant of your lifestyle, the environment, and your diet. We talked about that last time. We talked a little bit about that earlier today. Because Satan is doing all these things and you don't know about it, you become a victim of it. And so that's why you're sick. Like I said, most of the illnesses in this country is because of the food we eat, because we don't know what foods to eat, and because we've been told one thing and we're eating that and it's making us sick, okay? The fourth reason, this is being ignorant of devil's lies. So some people, sicknesses and things that manifest on them that doctors can't explain. They go to the doctor, I don't know what's going on with you. I can't pinpoint why this is happening to you. Sometimes that's related to the devil just suggesting that you're sick. And if you continue to believe the lies of the enemy, it can very well manifest on some level. Mind over matter is what they say sometimes. And now you have these issues, and they don't really exist, but they're there, and they actually manifest and cause you suffering. And it's because you believe in what the enemy is saying. You're sick today. You feel this way. You feel that way. And you don't. And it's not you doing this. It's the enemy on the outside or in the inside speaking to your mind, trying to get you to believe that you have these issues. And so what I tell a lot of people is, and this is what, like I said, when I got born again, I begin to believe God's healing. I said, I'm a walking healing in wholeness and restoration. I don't receive that kind of stuff. I don't want to believe in sicknesses and that I have to have them and all this kind of stuff. Now, there are times when you just get sick. The body has to put you down for a little bit to recover itself. And I'm not saying that we should go against that and say, well, I'll never receive any kind of issues that I have coming to my body. You know, some people have these name and they claim it type things where they get in a cough and a cold, and they just talking about, I'm not going to receive it. Well, that's your body saying that, hey, something has gotten to your body. It's trying to deal with it. You got a fever, and it's going to burn it out, or it's going to handle it some kind of way. You let your body handle that. But to say that I'm not going to receive any kind of, you know, suffering because I don't want to suffer, that's not practical. Your body has to do certain things to handle whatever issue that has gotten to the body. It'll pass. But when I'm talking about this specific issue here, is that sometimes the devil is suggesting things to you that's not even true. And that if you believe them, then yeah, then now you got it. So it's a thin line between your body handling something and then the devil lying to you about you having a sickness or something like that. So we'll talk about that later on. Number five is punishment. So a lot of people are sick because of punishment. God is actually punishing them. And what he's doing is allowing devils in particular to cause sicknesses in their bodies. And he's not doing anything about it because he said, that's what you get. I'm going to let this happen to you because of what you did. And here's an example of it in Revelations chapter 2. There was a woman in the church. They referred to her as the spirit of Jezebel. Now, we know Jezebel was in the Old Testament, and she was causing trouble for the prophets, and she was eventually killed. They tossed her out a window, and the dogs ate her body. They're not talking about the same Jezebel. They're talking about the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of arrogance and control and manipulation and leading people into sin of fornication and idolatry and adultery. So in this case, in the book of Revelation, there was a lady. The spirit was in somebody, and they were causing certain people in the church to sin against God. God says, look, I came to her to get her to repent. She didn't want to repent. She's going to be destroyed. And this is what it says in Revelation chapter 2, verses 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. In another version called the New English Translation, it says, look, I am throwing her into a bed of violent illness, and those who commit adultery with her into terrible suffering, unless they repent of her deeds. So here we go. The lady is over with her. She didn't repent. God's going to get rid of her. But the people who followed her, God is saying, look, you're going to be suffering right along with her if you don't stop what you're doing. You need to repent. He said, I will throw you into a bed of sickness. Those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So some people, specifically under Jezebel's spirit. Now, clinical term, this is usually called narcissism. if you understand what narcissism is, it's similar to Jezebel's spirit. It's kind of the same thing. Jezebel's spirit is what we in the spiritual realms call certain groups of behaviors certain people practice. So, and I've had many experiences with the spirit of Jezebel. I've fought the spirit of Jezebel many times since I've been a child of God. Since the beginning, I had to deal with that spirit. Every time I've dealt with people with that spirit, they always had some sickness on them. They were suffering from something. For the men, it was usually back pain, extreme back pain. For the women, it was usually severe headaches and throwing up. And just, if you ask them how they were doing, you know, in certain instances, they will tell you, and it'd be bad, you know. But they will often use their sicknesses to gain sympathy from people. And to also make it seem as if, okay, since I'm a sick person, you should overlook my behavior. I tell lies, I manipulate people, I hurt people, I'm self-centered, I rip people off, I exploit people. But you're supposed to overlook that because I got a back problem. Because I throw up occasionally and I have these headaches that just tear me to bits. And that's God allowing these sicknesses on them because of their sins. He's punishing them. And these can be people in the church, they can be people, and I've seen this consistently. Every Jezebel spirit, specifically the women though, they had some kind of migraine, over the top migraine type stuff that would come on them that they would suffer from. And it was like, oh, so-and-so gone. They out of work right now. And this is in the church. This is in the street. This is in the work environment. Consistently deep suffering in this area of pain. And this is God doing this to them. He's allowing it, rather. He's allowing the spirits to come in and just wreak havoc in their bodies because they don't want to repent of their sins. And so you got somebody in your church that's dealing with this, and you know that their behavior is narcissistic, or you would consider them a Jezebel spirit. They are suffering because God is punishing them. In some very real cases, that's what's happening. And so we got to let that go. We cannot be caught up in these people's sicknesses and illness. We can't be having sympathy for them. Initially, yes. But after the fact, we got to say, well, why are you in this condition? And some of us, if you close to the Holy Spirit, will find out that God is punishing them. They keep practicing these sins, and God is going to destroy them eventually if they don't repent. So that is the fifth reason for why people are sick. Number six is to glorify God through testimony of healing. And this has been found in John chapter 9, verses 3. And this also kind of reiterates what I just said earlier, that some people are sick because of their sins. They practice in sin, and God is allowing them to be punished through suffering of some kind of illness. So here it is. This is in John chapter 9, verses 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And then Jesus answered, "Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So this is to bring glory to God, to show God's glory and to show God's power that he can fix anything. But I just want to deal with the first part. They knew back then that if somebody's under some kind of illness, sometimes it's related to their sin, either their parents sin or they sin. You know, he's like, no, not in this case. This case is to glorify God, so that God should be made manifest in him. Some people never glorify God or really know God if they weren't under an ailment to where they had a testimony to show people, look, I was in this sick bed, but God fixed me. He goes on to say in verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am in the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him," but he is said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thy eyes opened?" Verse 11, he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." And they asked him, "Where is the guy?" He said, I don't know. Then they bring the Pharisees, and the Pharisees get to question him and all this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is that this miracle showed people the kingdom of heaven was there. And that, and somebody might say, well, this is kind of bad. You let this guy suffer all this time just to be healed, just so God can get the glory. God can do anything to anybody. He can use you for whatever purpose he wants to use you. And you just got to deal with that. Okay? We can't take a shot at God from this particular verse and say, well, God is cruel for letting this guy suffer all that time. He couldn't see all that time. And then just so everybody can praise God, that's kind of whack. But he allowed it to happen for the purposes of glorification. We just have to go with that. The last reason why people are sick is for humility and preservation for the saints. So this is getting into my final and my original reasoning for this portion of talk. And that is, why doesn't your healing come? And the reason why is for humility and preservation for the saints. Some people need to be sick. They need to remain sick so that they can stay humble and that they can be saved. Some people, if they had their legs, they would walk away from God. If they had their sight, they would walk away from God. Going back a few talks where we talked about money and how God provides, and some of us may not have a lot. If we were given a lot, we might walk away from God. So I'm going to just give you just enough to get by. You'll be taken care of. You'll have food in your belly and shelter and clothing and everything like that. But I'm not going to allow you to have millions and millions of dollars, because you could take that and walk away from me. And I'm trying to preserve your soul. You said to me that you wanted to be saved. And so I'm going to do things that's going to keep you so that you can be saved. It's kind of like a father looking at a child. Would I give this child this particular candy, or would I give him the keys to this car at this age, knowing that he's not mature enough to handle it, or that's just something that he can't handle? No, I'm not doing that. I want to save that child. I love my child. I don't want to give them something that would cause them to destroy themselves. And so God knows all of our weaknesses, and he knows that what can preserve us. And if we're praying to God and saying, God, I want to be saved, do whatever you can. And I've prayed this multiple times to God. So whatever he does, I got to go with that and say, you know, it is for my good. And he's going to work some things out, and I'm going to be saved. And that's what's important. Not getting everything I want in life. It's not about that, because we're going to have all that in the new world anyway. So let's look forward to that. But let's just focus on being right with God now and making it into the kingdom for all eternity, being an eternal citizen, which is the goal of this ministry, to be an eternal citizen. It's not just to get born again and become a child, but to remain a citizen and to remain to have our names in the book of life. We don't want to get it blotted out because we decided we're going to go our own way halfway into walking with God. So if that's our desire, rather, to be saved, then he may do some things that cause us to be in a condition that keep us, we may be in some level of suffering, but it keeps us humble, you know. So let's go into the word, and I'm going to show you here. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. This is Paul talking, and it goes like this. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelation from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Some say he had droopy eyes. In other words, drippy eyes, rather. Paul had some stuff where, you know, his eyes were dripping and stuff like that. He might have some other infirmities in his body or whatever. But you see here that God gave him that to keep him humble. Because if not, he could have went off saying, I'm the great Paul. I've written half of the Bible. And I'm awesome and great. And when people step into my shadow, they get healed. And he didn't lost his mind. And God, he might end up being unprofitable for God. And God couldn't use him. So God was like, I'm going to keep this cat preserved. And I'm going to keep him humble. Let me read that again. Verses 7. Even though I have received such a wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And some of us, I boast in my weaknesses. I say, you know, I can't do nothing, but God can. And that's when the power comes. That's when the strength comes. When you need to overcome sin, just say, man, I can't do that. But I believe God's power is stronger. And that's when you become strong. And that's when you're able to overcome. See, I'm strong because I recognize my weakness. And the saints that's the strongest recognize their weakness. Now, in this case, back to when you're praying for healing and it's not coming, sometimes it may be related to the fact that your ailment, maybe you being in bed all the time, you're weak, you have a sickness, you have a your legs, you know, God just won't heal your legs, you're going to be in a wheelchair. That may be related to the fact that God is trying to keep you humble. Because like I said, if you got your legs back, you'll walk away from God. He's trying to keep you humble. He's trying to preserve you to the end. So that's what's up right there. There it is. And I'm going to give you another example. Because his son in the faith, Timothy, has similar issues. And we can deal with that. In the book of Timothy, chapter 5, verses 23, this is the first book of Timothy. Paul is instructing Timothy. He says, don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach because you are sick so often. Here, he didn't tell him, look, Timothy, I'm coming over there. I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to heal you. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, just pray to God about that and God's going to heal you. You'll be all right. No, he says, take the necessary medicines. In this case, you use some wine to deal with your stomach issues. And he said he's sick so often. So he's dealing with stuff similar to Paul in the case that God is weakening him in order to strengthen him, keeping him weak so that he can be strong. Keeping him dependent on God so that he can be strong. Because if some of us, like I said, if we ain't got no weaknesses, we tend to think that we God ourselves. And God wants us always to know that everything we have, it comes from him. And sometimes we have to be given a thorn in our flesh to keep us in a position of humility so that we can always trust God. If we had everything going on for us, we would be so proud that we would lose God and we just walk away from him and then end up in eternal darkness. And so I hope that makes sense to people. God loves you. He loves us enough that he cares more about our souls than our physical condition. So he may keep a person in the bed where they can't walk. He may keep a person weak. He may keep a person with some particular issue that flares up here and there. He said, God, you know, he don't care nothing about them. No, he care about their soul. He knows that's keeping them humble. Now, in all these cases, you need to understand that the enemy is at work behind the scenes. He said that he gave him a messenger of Satan. So sickness is not caused by God. God allows sicknesses which are caused by the devil. The devil can do it or sin itself can do it. You know, like I said, abnormality and sin in the world and just things coming up in a weird fashion. The bottom line is God is not doing it directly. He's allowing Satan to do something to you. We talked about punishment. We also talked about for the humility of the person. So just understand that God is not this dude that just hurts people, man. You know, he may allow some pain and suffering to come on you because he's trying to keep you humble and to preserve you to the end. He wants to save your soul. See, your soul is more important to God in your physical condition. You need to understand that. Some people, all they caring about is getting off this sick bed. All they caring about is getting their strength and their power back. He's like, look, I want your soul restored. I want you to be more humble. I want you to be more honest. I want you to be a person that does not try to control other people. I want you to be a person that has faith in me. I'm trying to change your soul so that you can spend eternity with me. Now, your body and all of that, you know, I care about that too, but I want your soul. That's what's most important to me. God is in the business of saving souls. I hope we can get this understanding. So for some of y'all who keep praying, go to God and say, God, is this a thorn in my flesh? And just, you know, continue to pray until you get real confirmation. Now, we know the enemy is always hanging around the corner. He wants you to accept suffering at times, you know, and I, like I said before, some of the reasons why people are sick is because they believe what the enemy is saying to them. They don't have to be sick, but they believe it. And I hope you understand the difference. There's sometimes it's just the devil just trying to get you to believe something, but you have to go to God. And if you have a relationship that's tight and you understand him when he's talking and when he's not talking, get it from God. God, is this something that you put on me that you allowing to be up on me? Because you're trying to keep me humble. And if so, fine, I'll receive it. I'll accept it. I'll deal with it. And just show me how to deal with it. And I'll glorify you anyway. If it's not, then you reject that feeling and that those so-called ailments that come up and begin to reject them. Say, I'm not receiving that. Devil, get away from me. You're telling me I'm going to be sick and keep telling me I got this issue and all this stuff. I'm not receiving this. Devil, get away from me. And we know when Jesus was healing people, he cast out spirits. And those spirits were causing those issues. So it's not always God just wants you to be sick to humble you. Sometimes it's just the enemy bothering you. He got in. You believe that you need to be sick and you just need to rest in your sickness. And it's not true. So I hope you can see the difference. But our next talk is going to be about the devil. And then maybe not the devil first. Maybe we'll talk about just abuses and how to overcome those. And then from there, we'll talk about the devil and how to get rid of him. At the end of the day, it's about faith. Believing God can restore your soul and get rid of those things. So if you want just a preview, just have faith. Believe God. Yeah, I don't want me to suffer in this area. But in this case, like I said, some people are suffering, the saints specifically, because God is keeping them humble. And that's all right. He's trying to save your soul. That's why he's doing it. You know, I don't ever want to be a teacher who just gives you blanket answers like, well, we'll never know. God is just, he works in mysterious ways. I hate when people do that to me, when they don't give me no real answer. But scripture gives us the answers. And if we dig deep enough and we ask God long enough, he'll give us the understanding behind why he does what he does, why people act the way they act, why people are in the conditions that they're in despite their prayers for decades. Why don't certain things change? Well, it's because of this or it's because of that. So I hope that's helpful to you. Till next time, be born again. If you're not a child of God, confess your sins. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Rest in your weaknesses. Believe God that I can't do it. And you'll see that you'll have strength and power. Some of the strongest saints of God are people who already have made up in their mind that I'm weak. I can't do it. And because you can't. You can't overcome sin in your soul. You can't overcome your dietary issues that you've been eating for decades. You can't overcome that. God can. All you got to do is put your faith in him. He'll empower you and you will overcome that issue. You will not be sinning in that area. This is regarding sin. It's regarding dietary issues. All of that. Anything that you want to overcome in God, you can. You got to be in God. You can't do it in your flesh. You're going to go so far in your flesh until you fail. But if you say, I'm weak, and God is able, that's when you overcome everything. Let me leave you with your scripture again. He says, when Paul prayed to God, he said, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's grace is all you need. He says, my power works best in weakness. This has been my key scripture. As long as I stay weak, I don't run around thinking I can do everything. I don't run around talking about I got this. As long as I think like that, because that's the truth anyway. We ain't nothing but extensions of God. We can't do nothing without God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We're just branches. He's divine. He's the one pumping all the power up to us. So without him, we can't do nothing. So who are you to say that I got this on my own? No, you don't. Who are you to say I can change my diet from ham hogs and lobsters and shrimps to veganism, if you want to be that? You can't do that. God can. He goes on to say, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships, persecution and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Then I am strong. When I'm weak, I am strong. Put your pride aside, humble yourselves. You ain't got it. God is the power source. You just an extension. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Brothers and sisters, declare your weakness every day, and you'll see how strong you are to overcome sin. You see how you certain stuff you used to do, you don't do no more. I'm a living testimony. Till next time, be blessed, be born again, be filled with the Spirit. We'll be right back.